The title of today's sermon came from Proverbs 24, verse 16, as you heard our moderator, Stephen Bay, read, falling seven times and rising again. My text is at chapter 24, verse 18 through 1 through 18, but we're going to focus on verse 16 to spend some time to meditate on it, and to be clear about what that verse is all about. And then from then on, we will ask a couple of questions for our meditation. Verse 16 again. For the righteous falls seven times and rises again, but the wicked stumble in times of calamity. The first thing first, the definition of the righteous. The word is used throughout Proverbs and Psalms, and it basically in this way. Those who fear the Lord, those who pursue the upright, holy life in the way of the Lord. These people are people of honesty, integrity, and true faith. Not flippant, using God for their end, but God as their chief end. So that also means that the righteous doesn't mean they're perfect. Our own righteousness is like a dirty rag, Scripture says, but the righteousness of Christ has imputed, clothed on us. So in this sense, it's more practical everyday life. People who fear the Lord pursue what God has commanded us. So I'm going to probably refer most of times as the godly, the believing people, true believers. There are several questions kind of emerge, isn't it? But before we focus on some phrases, maybe general theme is obvious. It's resilience. Resilience is defined by William Webster Dictionary this way. It is the ability to recover from or adjust easily to misfortune or change. I kid you not, I didn't plan this timing-wise. I planned this Psalms and Proverbs, you know, several weeks ago, but this happens to fall on this Sunday as we anticipate urgent need for where to meet in within a month. When was the last time you thought about resilience in your own character, in your own life? Do I have ability, a trait, and tendency to bounce back when bad things happen to me? When I fail? When something is very discouraging? When a storm comes? There are three wisdom truths in this verse. So let's think about one at a time. Wisdom truth number one. Godly people are not promised an easy life. Rather, when we follow the way of the Lord uncompromisingly, without compromise, we often face more hardships and difficulties of life, which may cause us to fall many times. Not just one time, two times. But some of people who are misled about faith might have objection here. Well, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, then He will make your path straight. Things will go well in your life. Oh, not always. And even Paul writing to Timothy in the first century Christians, whoever strives to lead a godly life will be persecuted. There will be a persecution. And Jesus says, in this world, there will be tribulation. But be of good courage. I have overcome the world. So to expect that Christians are not supposed to have these problems in our lives, oh, God wants us to have worship site with blessings, so we should not have this kind of problem, is actually a false concept of true faith. The word seven in the Bible symbolizes completeness. The word usually seven is not just more than seven. Even when Jesus said seven times seven is without limitation. So seven times here is a numerous time. Yes, Christians can hit by cancer, can be troubled with finance, and we would have problems even in terms of finding a right home, buying the right car. And Christians would have troublesome things happening to us, especially if we volunteer to suffer for Christ's sake. Wisdom truth number two. The godly may fall repeatedly, but they recover from setbacks and rise again. But the ungodly, on the other hand, have no power to rise above adversity. New Living Translation, I took it from there, says it this way at the end, in the verse 16, paraphrasing, one disaster is enough to overthrow them. So in other words, if you and I truly belong to God, that we are the people of God, not because of our righteousness, but because Christ's righteousness by grace, free gift, undeserved free gift, in Christ and Christ alone, by grace and grace alone, through faith and faith alone, then we will see God rising us up. And it will appear to be as a trait of a true believer. Resilience. And some of you might question about, well, some non-Christians and unbelievers, they get up all the time, that they're resilient people, and they fail several times, and they continually try. Yes, they might be. But this is ultimately what pictures is a Christian's life as a whole in the consummation of God's salvation in Christ, which means when Christ comes back, there will be disaster, adversity, calamity come to all people. But those who, without Christ, that calamity strikes and they are doomed for eternity. They will not be able to get up from eternal damnation. But every Christian, true Christians, will rise again, in the life of Jesus Christ, risen Christ, that we will have a resurrected body. So this verse is awfully, awesomely encouraging. On a practical level, when we think about things that are happening, I can't believe this is happening to me, or I've never had this kind of, this much of a struggle, or even emotionally you're depressed and discouraged, remember that God has given you the power, not from your own character, but from the Holy Spirit who is residing in you. Truth number three, resilience is revealed with two aspects in the lives of the godly. The one aspect, it is a trait of those who belong to Christ. And number two, it is also an action of their living faith. It's not dead faith, but if our faith is living faith, it will produce fruit, action, practice. This is usually, oftentimes also called, this action part, perseverance. Resilience is a character, perseverance is a daily practice, which means the fact that Christians, believers, the godly have resilience, it involves both being who we are in Christ with the trait, and also doing that we are saved already, but not yet fully. Which means our resilience can be developed, cultivated. We could be strengthened. And we will experience victory, triumph against the evil one's snares and discouragement and darts of accusation from the enemy. Gordon MacDonald, who actually wrote a book titled A Resilient Life. One insight that he drives at, the reason for his writing this book, is that this generation needs resilience. MacDonald writes, "You must develop resilience, the courage and ability to get up when you fall, to keep running when you're born weary, and to keep your eye on the goal even in the murkiest moments." So the question that we're asking as we're meditating on Proverbs 24, verse 1 to 18 is, how do the godly develop resilience in their trait and also in their daily action? There's four. First of all, the godly seek wisdom and counsel as a way of life. Verses 3 through 6 and verse 13, 14. First of all, verse 3 through 6. By wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is full of strength, and a man of knowledge enhances his might. For by wise guidance you can wage your war, and in abundance of counselors there is victory. In other words, the first thing that we need to do, because innately, we don't have a resilience and wisdom for that. We need to seek wisdom, counsel from the Lord and from the wise of the Lord, the wise people of the Lord. Verse 13 and 14 gives us a bright reminder, delightful reminder. My son, eat honey, for this is good. And the drippings of the honeycomb are sweet to your taste. Know that wisdom is such to your soul. If you find it, there will be a future, and your hope will not be cut off. Point is not eating honey. Don't get too wrong. Bible says I'm going to, I need to eat honey. It's good for me. No, point is, back in the days when there is no sugar whatsoever, the one sweetness of, the source of sweetness was the natural food like honey. Sugar is bad. Don't eat sugar. Eat honey. So some people actually have a treatment using the royal jelly or something like that. But the point is, as honey is good for you, wisdom is such sweet and beneficial to your soul. Do you remember Psalm 119? The longest psalm of the Psalter, the theme is love and passion for the Word of God. Oh, how I love you, Lord. They are sweeter than honey. I pant. I am excited, panting for the Word of God. Let's remind ourselves, the source of resilience is not in us, but God. And in doing so, as we seek wisdom and counsel, it requires our acquired taste for wisdom by learning to enjoy its sweetness and benefit. And I want to emphasize acquired taste. When you're growing up, when we are growing up, when I was a child, I didn't like kimchi. But try it. I tried it. At that moment, I didn't like it. So no more. I'm not going to eat it. But over the years, I acquired taste of kimchi. And to a point, if we don't have a kimchi in our house more than a week, I'm not happy. Something is missing. And I look at Kate and say, we don't have any kimchi. And she goes to this special kimchi, handmade kimchi place in Garden Grove. That's really good stuff. So I'm missing it. And I'm going to Costco and they have a kimchi jar, right? It's one of those, a lot of people are really liking kimchi, that more and more Costco is a kimchi things. I'm almost tempted to buy it. Maybe I could buy it today. So before Kate comes, I eat it. Word of God, this summer, your resilience comes from this. Let's look at the analogy again. Just because honey is good for me, let's say you ate honey or ginseng, whatever that you think is good for. But tomorrow morning, will you be stronger? And maybe, psychologically, emotionally, you might be, I ate something good. But it will take weeks. As a lifestyle, do you realize the remedies to develop resilience is indirect. As much as good diet and exercise indirect for our health, for the long run, it's because fearing the Lord is the wisdom, beginning of wisdom, because the source of our resilience and power comes from the Lord, that we grow, draw near to the Lord through the Word and through wisdom. And that's why it begins with renewing our mind with God's Word and God-centered perspective in all things. Crossway is going through radical change, bold changes, and there are lots of freedom. But can I remind you, encourage you, even challenge you? You don't have to go through a quiet time list. But would you have a goal in your summer to spend time with the Lord daily through word and prayer, even if it's 10, 15 minutes, to seek wisdom and counsel as a way of life? No one is sick, terribly sick in your house. No one is going through a car accident. But you draw near to the Lord and seek wisdom. And counsel. One of the Psalms, I remember, I was going to use it, but decide to keep things more simple, is that talking about the righteous, he is not afraid of bad news. Meaning, what if I hear the news, my dad, my mom, my son, my daughter has this incurable disease. What if bad news hits us, our family? The wisdom and counsel of the Lord will prepare for us as a resilient people. Not that we are denying the pain, but we could face the tribulation, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world, Jesus said. Number two, the godly have a strong heart in distress. But also, think about action. Godly maintain a strong heart in distress. Cultivate, strengthen in going on. Verse 24:10 is description of ungodly. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Turning to Micah 7:8, a godly shouts this way, "Rejoice not over me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall rise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me." In the middle of the night, when you get discouraged, when you get accused by the evil one, accuser of our brothers, you could say this, "Rejoice not over me, oh, my enemy, you demonic spirit. When I fall, I shall rise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light." The Lord is a light to me. Psalm 31, verse 3, 23 to 24 says, "Love the Lord, all you his saints. The Lord preserves the faithful, but abundantly repays the one who acts in pride. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you wait for the Lord." Do Do you feel weak these days? Some of you feel discouraged. This is a reminder from your Heavenly Father. If you really belong to God by grace through faith in Christ, you already have resilience that God is causing you within you. But also, let's remember that we also need to strive to strengthen our hearts by living by faith. But we can grow in our inner strength by the Spirit's power. Faith is relying on God. Grace is not meriting or demanding God's favor because of our goodness. Grace is undeserved free gift of God. But grace does not oppose, Dallas Willard reminds us, activity, action. So if you are thinking, Lord, I belong to you, so can you come and just strengthen me, make me feel really strong and really courageous right now, then I will go out, knock on the door, ask for the job again, ask for the reconciliation again. The scripture says, God has prepared your way. Now act by faith. Strengthen it. 2 Timothy 2:1, Paul writes to his protege, spiritual son, Timothy, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Think about that. How do I strengthen my heart? How do I develop resilience in my heart? How do I become mentally, spiritually tough? Not with the pride, but by the grace of God. That is, think about in the grace of God means all the things that we have been already given freely in Christ Jesus. The Word of God, prayer, the indwelling Spirit, the fellowship with brothers and sisters. Be strengthened in that. So let's cultivate, maintain a strong heart. Paul, having faced so many obstacles and difficulties in his life, hardships, 2 Corinthians 4:7-8, 10, he says this, but we have this treasure in jars of clay. Oh, what a beautiful expression. Jars of clay, breakable, fragile, but in jars of clay, we have a treasure. The source of our resilience, power, the source of our salvation, Jesus in the gospel. To show that the surpassing power belongs to God, not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. This is a New Testament way of saying the righteous falls 7 times and rises again. Thirdly, the godly act on helping the helpless. Verse 11 and 12. Rescue those who are being taken away to death. implying injustice is happening. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, behold, we did not know this, does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who keeps watch over your soul know it? And will he not repay man according to his work? If we turn to Psalm 82, verse 3 to 4, again, the wisdom and guidance from the Lord himself. Give justice to the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the right of the afflicted and the destitute. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the land of the wicked. Let's ask that obvious question again. What has helping the helpless got to do with developing resilience? Because it is the heart, again, indirect strengthening, meaning we draw close to the heart of God, who is a source of resilience, who is filled with justice, holiness, compassion, and mercy. When we are merciful to those people who are not deserving, when we show the action of justice for the injustice, for the helpless people who cannot help themselves, it delights God's heart. Moreover, God himself is merciful to those who show mercy. In Sermon on the Mount, blessed are merciful, for they will receive mercy from God. The paradoxical truth is this: the more we give ourselves freely, without any strings is attached, the more we will be given strength, the more we will become men and women of resilience. Don't think about saving the world. And if we just look around, even in our community, there are brothers and sisters who are in need, practical needs. The brothers and sisters who need prayer. The brothers and sisters who need a gentle touch of encouragement, comfort by being together. Here's the fourth and last one. The godly do not rejoice when their enemies fall. 17 and 18. Do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and let not your heart be glad when he stumbles, lest the Lord see it and be displeased and turn away his anger from him. Let's understand this thing a little better by looking at New Testament. Romans 12, verse 14 through 19. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I'll repay, says the Lord. It is the way of the Lord, meaning it is the way of Jesus, who have forgiven us, who have commanded us to love our neighbor, who have reminded us, when people curse you, don't curse them back, bless them. So we are not to rejoice when our enemies fall. But on the other hand, we are not to become envious. Verse 1 and 2, when they are prosperous, be not envious of evil men, nor desire to be with them, for their hearts devise violence, and their lips talk of trouble. Recapping again, on one hand, we are not to envy ungodly, but on the other hand, we are not to rejoice when our enemies fall. It is because of our main goal of Christian life and trusting the Lord, resilience, source of resilience, is becoming more like Christ. The only way that can keep us from discouragement, from despair, is to fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the founder and perfecter and our example. Hebrews 12, verse 1 through 3 is what I want to conclude with. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, the saints and the believers who have gone before, those who kept their faith, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Why? Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. That phrase is very interesting, paradoxical. We need to pay attention to these kind of things. Let us run. Have you seen the people who are in the race? They didn't think about anything. Let's say this is a 400-meter, race, and they gave too much of energy in the beginning. They run out of endurance, and then in the beginning they might be the first place, and after second lap, they're falling behind and behind. Let us run this race, but with endurance, with perseverance, that we will never give up until the end. Oh, I used to serve like crazy, and I was so busy when I was young and when I was in college, when I was in my 20s. I don't have anything left anymore. Of course. We need to be vigilant and mindful and discerning the intentional time of rest is actually part of endurance, isn't it? And most of you guys, if not all of you, that's why I'm preparing for a 4-month sabbatical. And I'm thankful that church and leadership has affirmed that and encouraged that. But let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Verse 2, looking to Jesus. Other translation will say fixing our eyes on Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Right hand meaning symbolic place of power and authority and honor. Consider him. Consider who? Jesus Christ, who endured from sinners such a hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Do you feel discouraged? Do you feel life is unfair? Do you feel that God is withholding some blessings from you? Do we as Christians and Church of Christ feel that somehow too many obstacles are in front of us? Then we need to look at Jesus. The suffering and the endurance, the falling of seven times he has taken is for the sake of our purpose of not growing weary and faint-hearted. My time's up, so let me just recap four things we talked about. We meditated on Proverbs 24. How do we develop resilience in our lives? By seeking wisdom and counsel as a way of life. By maintaining a strong heart in distress. By acting on helping the helpless. And by not rejoicing when our enemies fall. Two things as we respond to God's word. Think about your personal life, something that is weakened in your life, that we become so passive and you're just asking the Lord fix it for you. What is one step out of faith that you could take, having heard this message? Secondly, what is our unified faith in responding to the urgent need of not having worship site, the uncertainty, instability of our church right now? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this very word of God. And thank you that you have given us this trait as a true believer. And thank you that you have encouraged us to develop resilience in our lives, personally and individually and corporately together as the body of Christ. May your Spirit remind us, stir us, ignite our hearts to act upon this word of God. As we prepare the Lord's Supper, would you respond to God and just simply, Lord, I commit this to you. And it's a response to God's word. And then as you do so, would you also confess any known sins in your life so that you would receive the elements of Lord's Supper, the bread and the wine, with a clear conscience. Remember, you don't have to clean up and come back. God's forgiveness precedes your confession. He has already positionally forgiven you. And you need to be just cleansed, enfolded in the restoration of his fellowship with you. Amen.